Welcome, everyone, as we gather our hearts, our minds around God's Word today. God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. And my prayer is that the message of this verse, the message of Psalm 46, will be a great comfort and inspiration and anchor to our hearts and lives as we follow the Lord in a difficult world. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Let's pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, you are the Lord who is our refuge in the midst of the sudden and unexpected upheavals of life. You are the one who anchors us to your strength in our weakness, perfecting your strength in our weakness. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came into this world and you brought to us the good news of the gospel, that through your perfect obedience and death on the cross for our sins and your resurrection as the proof of our eternal life, that you would carry us safely through all the circumstances of life into heaven, where we will be with you forever and ever. Strengthen us through Psalm 46, that we might be a people whose lives count for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 46, a great psalm of God being our refuge and our strength. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In May 1995, Randy Reed, a 34-year-old construction worker, was welding on top of a nearly completed water tower outside of Chicago. According to writer Melissa Ramsdell, Reed unhooked his safety to reach for some pipes. When a metal cage slipped and bumped the scaffolding on which he stood, the scaffolding tipped and Reed lost his balance. He fell 110 feet, landing face down on a pile of dirt, just missing rocks and construction debris. A fellow worker called 911. When paramedics arrived, they found Reed conscious, moving, and complaining of a sore back. But apparently he did not lose his sense of humor, as paramedics carried him on a backboard to the ambulance. Reed made one request: don't drop me. Doctors later said Reed came away from the accident with just a bruised lung. You know, sometimes we resemble that construction worker. God protects us from harm in a 110-foot fall, and we don't trust him or we complain about 3-foot heights. God has delivered us from our greatest enemies, sin and death and hell. And so he can protect us in and through the smaller dangers and difficulties of life, through the tumultuous times of life, no matter how great they may seem to us. Psalm 46 shows us the difference that God makes in the way we handle the difficulties and troubles and upheavals of life. What difference does trust in God make in overcoming the fears and anxieties of life produced by the troubles and dangers of life? And he makes a difference in three ways. First, he's our greatest strength. He is our strength and our refuge. Second, Jesus meets our greatest need. That the river of God's grace in the gospel flows into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And our lives, thirdly, count for the greatest purpose. First, Jesus is the assurance that the Lord is our refuge, our greatest resource. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Did you catch the beauty of that promise? God and God alone is your refuge. God and God alone is your greatest resource of strength. And God alone, is always with you. He is your ever-present help in trouble. We need God as our refuge. We absolutely need God as our refuge and strength, because verses 1 through 3 emphasize cataclysms that threaten destruction. The psalmist writes about this, these cataclysms, these upheavals. The earth gives way. The mountains are moved into the heart of the sea. The waters roar and foam, and then the mountains tremble. Verses 2 and 3. Nonetheless, God is our fortress, and therefore we will not fear. It is because God is our fortress that we do not fear. We're not paralyzed by fear and overwhelmed by anxiety. This description acknowledges that we are weak and vulnerable. There are upheavals, there are difficulties, there are storms that are outside of our control, many of them. There are dangers we face that we cannot resolve in and of ourselves. The Psalms speaks of upheavals in nature as a way of symbolizing the entire chaos of the world we live in. Great and unexpected convulsions may suddenly come on us individually, as families, as a church, as a community, as a nation, which we saw this past week in Washington, D.C., when some of those present for a rally with the president turned violent in anger and stormed into the Capitol and the Russell Senate office building with threats and violence. We live in a world of chaos, and the psalmist is not just talking about physical earthquakes or physical tsunamis or physical storms. He's speaking of spiritual earthquakes, spiritual storms, spiritual convulsions, suffering and pain, being the recipient of the sins of others who harm us, as well as us harming others. We live in a world of chaos, and we cannot resolve these in our own strength, our own resources. We need Jesus Christ as our refuge and strength. Despite all of these upheavals in life we face, There is one great fact that makes all the difference. God is your refuge. God protects you. God is our shield, the shield to his people. He protects us from harm. In ancient days, a fortress was absolutely critical and was the most powerful resource, physical resource, for protection. Behind the ramparts of a fortress, the enemies were not able to get through to cause harm. In the same way, in a much greater way, God protects his people. You know, just to have lived near a fortress gave a sense of peace. If enemies came, then the people could run to the fortress, and there in its solace and protection, surrounded by the army and the ramparts and the mighty walls, find protection. And this is what God promises to be to his people perfectly. No physical fortress, no physical shield, no physical rampart can do for you what God can do when he is your strength and your fortress. You know, just absorbing these promises in Psalm 46 will give you a sense of stability in the sudden stresses and upheavals, the small difficulties, the large difficulties. If you absorb the promises of God and go to him as your refuge and strength, he will preserve you. He will carry you. Yes, the assaults will come. Yes, the difficulties will come. But God will be there to preserve, protect, and carry you. God is your fortress when tragedies come. Elizabeth Elliot gives this testimony. Her first husband, Jim Elliot, was killed in Ecuador by the Aka Indians as he witnessed to the gospel to them. Her second husband, Addison Leach, died of a slow and very painful form of cancer. Elizabeth spoke of these tragedies in terms of Psalm 46. She writes, "Everything that seemed most dependable has given way. Mountains are falling. Earth is receding. That's what death is like. That's what economic disasters are like. That's what the assaults of suffering are like. That's what the attacks from other people can be like. Everything seems to have changed. And yet there is one thing that is not shaken and never changes, and that is God. He is unshaken in all the storms and the difficulties and the changes of life. And your greatest resource is found in anchoring yourself to him." In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16, we read these beautiful and marvelous words, "From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." Isn't that marvelous? God has the bucket of his grace tipped so that it pours out in abundance and is boundless in everything you need. God gives sufficient grace. Through grace, God does for us what we could never do in and of ourselves. Grace isn't a supplement to our strength because we have no strength in ourselves. Grace turns your human weakness and mine into Christ's power for Christ's glory. You know, the reason many of us don't experience the power of God is because we're too strong in and of ourselves. and we don't live in our weakness, letting our weakness drive us to the all-sufficiency of Christ. We need Jesus Christ as our refuge every moment of every day, in good times and bad times, in times of political and social unrest, and in times of political and social peace. We need him all the time. The Bible contains so many examples of weakness being turned into strength by faith laying hold of the power of God. When Abraham was 70 years old, God promised to give him a son through whom God would build a great nation and bless all the nations of the world. But 13 years passed, and that son had not yet been given. So Abraham's wife Sarah disobeyed the Lord and said, "Abraham, go have a son through my handmaid Hagar." Abraham cooperated with the plan. Hagar did bear a son, and this was contrary to God's will, and it caused great suffering in their family, and has actually caused great suffering for thousands of years. God waited another 13 years until he began to fulfill the promise. And when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old, God gave them a son. And Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21 tell us about this miracle. Listen to these words. "He," Abraham, "did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised." It was Abraham's faith in God's presence, in God's strength, that released the power of God into his life. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't trust your feelings. Abraham and Sarah trusted the power of God. They claimed his power. They claimed his promises. And you know what's great? God's performance always matches what he has promised. All the promises of God are yes in Christ. And because Abraham looked to the God he knew could do what he had promised, God caused Abraham and Sarah, in effect, to be resurrected from the dead, because he brought life to Sarah's barren womb. God, whatever burden or battle you face, he is your refuge and strength. He can meet you, he'll accomplish good through you, and he'll use you for his glory. So there's the resource. God is our refuge and strength. But second, Jesus Christ meets your greatest need. So Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, identify our greatest resource, God. But verses 4 through 7 speaks of our greatest need. Do you know the greatest need that you have? You may have many needs, but your greatest need is Jesus Christ. As the events unfolded this past week in our nation's capital, what it proved over and over again is that the greatest need of every senator and congressman in the United States is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The greatest need of every citizen in the United States is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The greatest need of everyone, whether African American, whether Asian, whether Caucasian, whether Indian origin, whatever, our greatest need is Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with him. Now in this passage, God is defending his people in verses 4 through 7. In its original context, this Psalm 46 refers to an occasion when a great and mighty enemy came against God's people to destroy them. Verse 6 declares, "The nations rage, the kingdoms totter." This nation was laying waste whole countries, coming with their vast army against the Israelites. And most scholars believe Psalm 46 refers to the invasion of the conqueror Sennacherib, when he brought his vast army and laid waste of whole nations and came up to Jerusalem and sent envoys to mock the Jews into surrendering during the reign of King Hezekiah. 185,000 Assyrian army men who were ready to lay waste to Jerusalem, to plunder it, to destroy its people. And Isaiah the prophet called on Hezekiah to lay the letter of threat from Sennacherib before God. And he did. And God responded through his word by sending an angel to destroy 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. Psalm 46:6 exalts, "He utters his voice, the earth melts." It was as if it was easy for God to destroy this entire army set against God's people. What is our great need? It is for God in Christ to dwell in you. Verse 5 explains why Jerusalem did not fall. God is in the midst of her. Look at that. Isn't that marvelous? God is in the midst of her. She will not fall. God will help her at the beginning of day. Yes, the church, the gathered followers of Christ and Christians, will go through periods of darkness and suffering and assaults from the evil one. But light will come in the morning because God is with her. The most important thing for Christians and the church, church's vitality and strength, is surrender to the power of the gospel that resides in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Psalm 46:4 makes a dramatic and comforting statement about the blessings of the gospel in our lives. Look at how wonderful this verse is. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High." The presence and power of Jesus Christ is like a refreshing river flowing in and through our lives. Remember what Jesus said in John 4:10 to the woman at the well, caught in adultery, and Jesus reclaimed her for himself. She repented of her sin. He told her, "If anyone drinks of this water in the well you come to every day, they'll thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will be like rivers of water flowing into their hearts." Do you know that Jerusalem was the exception of all the great cities of the ancient world? It was not built next to a waterway. And so when the psalmist refers to a river that makes, whose streams make glad the city of God, his intention is that we should not understand that simply physically, but that we should understand it spiritually, because Jerusalem is the pattern for our lives. What do I mean? The rivers of water are the spiritual power of the gospel in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Regardless of your difficult circumstances or dangers, despite our weakness and our folly, though we may find ourselves in a barren wasteland, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, the gospel is a river in our hearts that gives us joy and strength in Christ, unquenchable. The image of a river flows all through the Bible. In Genesis 2:10, we read, "A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and it flowed out into the world." The Bible ends with a river flowing through the holy city yet to come. Thus we read in Revelation 22, the chapter that ends the Bible, relates to us that an angel showed the Apostle John a river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the new city, Jerusalem. The river to which Psalm 46 refers is the river of the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. That's your greatest need. That's the river that spouted from the body of Jesus. In John 19:34, a sword pierced him, and out flowed what? Water and blood. In order for God to heal us, Jesus had to heal our relationship with him. Jesus had to be struck by his Father on the cross in bearing your sin. That's the gospel. And Jesus' last invitation in the Bible, in Revelation 22:17, says, "Let everyone who is thirsty come from the waters and drink." No prince, no president, no congressman, no political leader, no spiritual leader can bring you into a relationship with God. We can show you the way, but you have to go to Jesus and drink from the waters of salvation through faith in him. Don't put your trust in political leaders. They're fallible people who themselves need Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Pray for them. Be responsible in obeying God. Witness to the gospel, but trust in Christ. May he be our first love. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. It's the message of Jesus Christ, that God in Christ was in this world, that God in Christ came into this world, and that Jesus Christ lived the perfectly obedient life for you and me, that he died to take away your sin, that he rose again as the assurance of eternal life for those who trust him. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ lived the life we should have lived, and he died the death we deserve to die because he loves us with boundless love. You know, Jesus Christ died for you and me while we were yet sinners. Now think about that. It was when you didn't have the strength to know God personally and follow him, Jesus died for you. It was when you didn't even start to overcome sin because you couldn't in your spiritual deadness that Jesus died for you. And it was when you weren't able to be friendly to God, you were hostile to God, that Jesus Christ came into this world and died for you. Christ died to prove that God's love is, as Jonathan Edwards said, a boundless ocean of love in which you can dive that has no shores and it has no bottoms. Isn't that marvelous? Because Romans 5:6 tells us, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more now that you are reconciled, will you be saved by Jesus' life? The river of God's grace will keep you in Christ's love to eternity if you've genuinely trusted Christ. He'll keep you in that love. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God is in her. She will not fall. God will carry you right to heaven. Your salvation cannot fail. So yes, repent thoroughly of sin and consecrate yourself to God afresh. The gospel's the provision for every need we have. The gospel brings good news wherever it goes. The gospel brings healing to wounded relationships. Do you know, when you realize you're forgiven by God's grace, you were forgiven, though you were unlovely to God. He made you lovely by bearing your sin. When you recognize Jesus forgave every particular sin of yours through his death, then you'll be ready to forgive. And to the extent that you're grateful for what Jesus Christ has done for you, to that extent, you will love others as he has loved you. And then, lastly, commit yourself to God's purposes. You know, God accomplished a great victory for his people. He defeated Sennacherib. The victorious grace of God. So how do we express our love for the Lord and our gratefulness by making our lives count for his glory? Look at verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. That's the church, believers, speaking to the world through our witness. The psalmist is calling the people, look out from the walls of the city. Look at the desolation wrought on Sennacherib. God is able to defeat every enemy. But come, invite people to behold the works of the Lord that they might believe in him. Jesus Christ, we are to come and invite people to see Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has conquered death. He sets the captives free. He gives sight to the blind. We are to reflect his love in this world so that others would be drawn to the Savior. You know, even the simplest believer can share God's grace with even a simple testimony that God can use to save them. Let me tell you this story. One man came to Christ in a morgue of a major hospital, where as a forensic pathologist, he was examining a cadaver. The doctor was preoccupied with problems and the stress was all over his face. So the hospital worker helping him said, Jesus loves you. The doctor, something went on, a light bulb through the Holy Spirit in this doctor's heart. He said, that's what I need. I need Jesus Christ. And he turned to the Savior. You never know how God will use your simple word, your simple testimony, to draw someone to him. And second, be still. After this past week in which our hearts dropped when we saw the violence, when we saw institutions that are so set apart in our nation's republic, the Democratic Republic, assaulted. We need to be still and know that God is God. Stand still on God's word. Do God's work God's way. Trusting His blessing in His timing, and you will bring glory to God. Surrender your life to the Holy Spirit. What difference does Christ make? You have the greatest resource in God's strength. Point one. You have the greatest need that is met in Jesus Christ, God's indwelling salvation through the Holy Spirit. And you are called to the greatest purpose, to witness for Christ. Excuse me. Lisa Beamer's testimony of Christ's strength and suffering is a great testimony of God's refuge and strength in the midst of upheaval. Her husband, Todd Beamer, became famous as one of the men who fought for control of the plane hijacked by terrorists that crashed on September 11th, 2001. He and other men sought to take control of that plane and were able to at the price of their own life so that a greater act of terrorism was stopped. In an interview, Lisa explained how she found the strength and courage in God in the loss of her husband. "I can't see all the reasons God might have allowed this when I know He could have stopped it. I don't like how this plan looks from my perspective right now, but I know He loves me and can see the world from start to finish. That helps me to say, okay." Faith means, regardless of our circumstances, we take Christ at His word that He loves us and brings a good result if we trust Him. Your greatest need is Jesus. Do you know Him as your Savior and Lord? Come to Christ and receive Him. Drink from the rivers of the gospel, and Jesus Christ will cleanse you of your sin. He will bring you into fellowship with Himself. He will make you whole, and then He'll be your strength through all the circumstances of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. We thank You for the power of the gospel in our lives through the Holy Spirit, that our salvation will not fail because You indwell us through the Holy Spirit. Teach us to love You, Lord. Teach us to rely on You. Teach us, Lord, to trust in You and not man. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.